The fourth Sunday of Lent is also called Laetare Sunday, a big fancy Latin word meaning to rejoice. And the purpose of Laetare Sunday, this fourth Sunday of Lent, is multifaceted. Number one, it's meant to remind us that we're at the halfway point of Lent. And so we're halfway there, halfways to go. It also is meant to remind us of the joyful nature of what it is we're about to prepare for, that the season of Easter is meant to be a spirit of great joy. And so Laetare, Rejoicing Sunday, is meant to remind us what we're preparing for. But also it can be a reminder that even in our midst of our Lenten sacrifices, penances, increased prayer, that there can be a spirit of joy even in the midst of these sacrifices that we're making. And so somewhere along the line in the church's history, they came up with a great idea that to remind us of this halfway point of Lent, they'd put us in pink just so you all knew we're halfway there. Don't know who invented that, but let's stick with it. One final note on Laetare Sunday. You'll notice a certain switch in the readings, a certain focus during the season of Lent. Up until this point, the focus has been conversion. The focus has been those areas in your life and mine where the Lord is trying to bring out a change of mind, a change of heart, a greater conversion. But now, when you heard it in today's reading, there's a switch. And the switch in the readings is now we're focusing on the opponents of Jesus. We're now focusing on the resistance that he meets as he nears Jerusalem to offer his life for the salvation of the human race. And so you have this transition taking place now, this switch, and you heard it very clearly in today's gospel. If today's gospel felt long, it's because it is. You just heard the entire ninth chapter from John's gospel. In the entire ninth chapter of John's gospel, everyone focuses on this healing of this man who is blind from birth, a man who could never see. He had this disease of blindness from the very, very beginning of his life. And what you'll notice in today's gospel is that although one blindness is very much focused on, one type of blindness is healed, that of the blindness of the blind man, there's another blindness that's exposed. There's another blindness that is shown. There's another blindness that is now seen. And what is that blindness? It's the blindness of the Pharisees, that because of their reaction, because of the way they're responding to this man who was healed by Jesus, they are making it very clear and apparent that they are enemies of Jesus, and their own blindness is on full display for all of us to now see. Now, you'll notice a certain pattern that took place in how the Pharisees went about once they found out this man was healed. What did they do first? They went to him, and they said to him, "How did this happen? Tell us, who did this and how did it happen?" And what does the man say? He simply says what happened. "Jesus of Nazareth healed me. He used clay. He used spittle. I washed, and now I see. That's all I can say." He doesn't explain why, because he doesn't understand why. He simply tells these Pharisees, this is what happened. But guess what? That's not good enough for them. Because the fact that this man named Jesus is able to do these things doesn't fit their criterion of how healing happens. It doesn't fit their understanding of who God is. Ultimately, their ultimate rejection is what? Rejecting that Jesus is God. And for one of the very first times, they're doing that in a very public way. So that answer to them of how this happened isn't enough for them, is it? What do they do next? They go to the parents, and they doubt the authenticity of this healing. They question, was he really blind? You're his parents, you would know. And the parents, what do? They say, you Pharisees, you're a bit scary. We want nothing to do with you. But yeah, he's been blind from birth. If you want to know what happened, ask him. He's an adult. He can get a job. Ask him. And so they go back and ask him. They ask him a second time, tell us, man, what happened? And what does the man say? You could sense a bit of exasperation in him. He says, I already told you what happened. Jesus of Nazareth healed me. And then he gets a bit sarcastic and says, why do you keep asking me this? Do you want to be disciples too? And to that question, they, of course, throw him out, ridicule him, dismiss him. Now, why did I just tell you that? You just heard it in the gospel, and I just retold it. Because I got nothing else this morning. And I'm just trying to fill time. But the reason I wanted us to see that, the real reason, is there's a certain pattern that took place in the Pharisees, a certain doubt they had as to just how powerful the Lord is, the kind of healings that he can do, that he can complete. But you'll also notice, everyone, just as the Pharisees had this pattern, the blind man also had a pattern that was revealed. What do I mean by that? Did you notice at the very beginning when he was asked about what happened, he simply called Jesus, Jesus of Nazareth. A bit later on, he called him a prophet. And by the very end, he called him the Lord and he worshiped him. That this pattern took place throughout the gospel of the man becoming more and more convinced that what Jesus did was a miraculous thing. The pattern reveals, everyone, that this man became bolder and bolder and bolder as to who Jesus is in his life. And that pattern of growing in boldness is extended to you and to me. That as we come to recognize what Jesus has done for us, not in some kind of impersonal way, but in personal ways, when we come to recognize what the Lord has done for us, we can too grow bolder and bolder and bolder in being convinced that he is real, that his grace is sometimes inexplainable, but his healing and mercy actually work. I'm not saying that we need to start standing on street corners and being bold. What I'm trying to say is internally, in our own minds, in our own hearts, is it possible that the Lord wants us to be bolder and bolder and bolder in recognizing how he works and what he does and how he heals? This blind man became bolder and bolder and bolder, and so too can we. They kept on asking him, didn't they? Explain to us why this happened. And finally he said, I don't know why this happened, but I know that it did. Because oftentimes, actually every time, the work of grace in your life and mine is inexplainable. When people ask us, what is the Lord doing? Sometimes it's hard to explain, but we know that he's doing it. That can be good enough for us. May we demonstrate internally the same boldness that this blind man had, and may we become more and more convinced of how Jesus works, how he heals, how he works in our lives. May we have that same boldness that he is real, that his grace is real, and that he works in powerful ways.